Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
A year ago, Governor Deval Patrick signed into law legislation reforming the state's Criminal Offender Record Information, or CORI, registry. The reforms make it more difficult for employers to inquire about a person's past. Supporters hope it'll mean more second chances for former inmates. But critics say businesses have a right to know about an employee's criminal history. WBUR's Dolores Handy reports this morning on one company that began hiring ex-convicts long before those reforms became law and has had a positive experience.
42-year-old Brian Marsh is one of the people whose name is on the state's Criminal Offender Record Information, or CORI, registry.
I was incarcerated. I had drug charges, sales, and I did almost 3 years.
Today, Marsh is one of the more fortunate ones. He has a job at Roxbury Technology, a minority-owned business in Jamaica Plain which prides itself on hiring ex-cons. 40-year-old Tom DiBenedetto, who served 14 years for armed robbery, works there too.
Very few companies are willing to give people such as ourselves a chance, but we are being released back to the communities, and we do need these opportunities because we need to support ourselves. We need a roof over our head and food in our refrigerator, just like every other human being does.
Roxbury Technology recycles and remanufactures toner cartridges for printers and fax machines. Its biggest customer is the giant office supplier, Staples.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Roxbury Technology President and CEO Beth Williams, who cut her teeth in the business world, working as an executive at Raytheon and Blue Cross. She took over Roxbury Technology when its founder, her father, died in 2004. Giving a second chance is a company mission.
I've honestly believed, just like we get product second chances or second life, people need a second life. These guys come out and they have no place to work, and so they fall back into the same thing. So here, they come in, their probation officers come in and check. They're like, Beth, you saved this young man's life. I think it's essential. I mean, about 10% of my workforce, I would say, has a CORI.
It's worked out for her. The quality of the work, she says, is excellent.
I tend to find that those employees are the ones with the most gratitude. They're not the ones that come in complaining and griping, and that they're very, they want to try. They want to really try to make it work, and they're thankful that they've been given another opportunity because they go so many places, and once people see that they have a CORI, they get the polite rejection.
Polite rejection. That's supposed to be harder to do now that Massachusetts has reformed its CORI law. But Horace Small, director of the Union of Minority Neighborhoods, part of the coalition that fought for CORI reform, says it's happening.
Businesses have found loopholes. Things are falling through the cracks. People come in. They come in all the time. Like, hey, I'm not getting an interview. I'm not being talked to.
The Massachusetts Commission Against Discrimination is charged with enforcing the CORI reforms. The agency's legal counsel, Catherine Zeal, says it's received only a handful of complaints since the first phase of CORI reform became effective last November, one of them against a large employer in the state. She wouldn't name the employer, but said what the agency is finding is that one of the problems has been with large national employers.
With national employers, you know, usually there's a single application that's used throughout the country and they're not necessarily aware of local law. So that's where we have found some issues and make it clear to employers that any sort of national boilerplate application form that they use needs to have specific information with regard to what does and does not have to be answered in Massachusetts.
In the legislature, the CORI reform fight was a long one. For years, activists fought for passage of a number of different reform acts before one finally passed last year. Brian Gilmore is executive vice president of the Associated Industries of Massachusetts. His group fought long and hard against CORI reform, but today he says his group can live with it.
We've compromised. We've got the best solution for the issue at hand, and I am not aware of an outcry that the regulations are not workable and so forth. Business does not like regulations like anybody else. No one likes change, but I think what we have here is workable and is a win-win for everybody.
No objection from Brian Marsh, an ex-con with a job, talks about just how important that job is.
I've changed my whole entire lifestyle. I don't hang in the street. I don't hang at bars and clubs. I go to church every Sunday. and I come to work, and I take care of my children. That's my life now. So it's like I'm a normal, upstanding citizen now. I have a job now, and I'm living in society the way it's supposed to.
The second phase of Corey reform, which includes the sealing of criminal records, becomes effective next May. The waiting period for requesting the sealing of misdemeanors will be 5 years rather than 10, and would be 10 years rather than 15 for most felonies. Murders and sex offense convictions will always be in the database. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Dolores Handy.